Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday, March 27th, 2010. It is now 4 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good afternoon, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Send your email to us anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, that's sutton-associates.net. In his biweekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. Lastly, I also would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and we are pleased this afternoon to have Mr. R.D. Rowe with us. Mr. Rowe is a libertarian and an atheist, but don't let that scare you. This will be a discussion not on separation of church and state, but more on politics and religion and how politics can contaminate religion and how religion can contaminate politics. Regardless of your religious persuasion, I think you need to join in this conversation. Listen in and do call in 646-652-4620. And I think we have our guest on the line. Let's see if we can connect and get him on the air. MD, is that you?
Hi, Joe. I'm most pleased to be here. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Actually, I really am doing fine. I've been sick so much lately with small things, and today was one of those days where everything came together, and I really feel good for the first time. So, and I'm so pleased to have you on our program. I'm so pleased that you contacted me because I think this is going to be a very interesting broadcast. R.D.,
I have been a god all week to talk to you.
R.D., why don't you give our listeners a little background as to actually who you are, something about your blog, you know, where you got where you are, and basically what you would like to cover today.
How I got to where I am today, I'm 27 years old. I'm a webmaster. I run libertarianatheist.com, and I've pretty much been libertarian and atheist my entire life, ever since I can remember, probably since I was about 15, 16 years old. So this is pretty much a lifelong thing. I've always been for liberty and for freedom and, you know, all that good stuff.
Let me interrupt you right there just for a second. People, by virtue of their education, by virtue of their environment, by virtue even of their parents sometimes, are far from libertarians, as Chris Matthews, that idiot, said on TV when he was interviewing Ron Paul recently. He said, you know, I was a real Barry Goldwater fan, and then I grew up. And I think I would have punched him in the nose if he was interviewing me. So I'm saying,
wow.
We don't grow up being libertarians. We are educated to be Keynesian economists. So we want to believe that the government is there for us, and without the government, we are almost worthless. What made you think differently than everyone else in the neighborhood?
Well, I personally think, even though most atheists are actually, in my opinion, from what I've seen, are socialists, it seems. But to me, atheism wasn't a religious position. It was the lack of a religious position.
Right.
To me, libertarianism wasn't a political position. It was a lack of a political position. It's like calling being abstinent a sexual orientation. You know, to me, I don't believe in government. I don't believe in God, and that's who I am.
All right, but was there any defining moment where you had this, I had an epiphany, you know, 30, 40 years ago. What was your epiphany? I mean, at what point? You weren't born this way, I'm sure. I mean, in school, you were not taught this.
Well, I remember being a fan of Clinton when he was, you know, in the midst of his administration, and only because he was popular. You know, I was young. I was a young man, very young teenager. And I remember being a fan of his, but then I would look around and see the actions of government, the fact that the only wars occur because of government, that, you know, the only mess-ups occur because of government. The greatest successes occur when the private institutions are given their freedom to do the things that are necessary for them to, you know, grow and become something better. And any kind of government legislation and any kind of rules and regulation don't mean anything. Government is the servant, and the people are the master.
What you saw, no one else saw. You saw something. It, to me, is obvious now, but when I was younger, it wasn't obvious. I mean, not that I was a Republican; I was the most confused kid in the world, and I think I still am in a way in many cases. But politically or economically, I'm not confused.
Politically, it was thinking, a lot easier for me. I was raised by Jehovah Witnesses, and in that religion, they're very apolitical anyway. So the political spectrum of things was very easy for me to go, hey, you know, there shouldn't be government enforcing social issues, and there shouldn't be government enforcing economic issues, and things tend to work out by themselves anyway, you know. And then when it came to the atheism side of things, I think that it was quite easy for me, too. So,
how could that be easy for you, coming from a Jehovah's Witnesses family, which is a relatively structured a religious sect, one which is very, very proactive, if you will, in promoting its form of Christianity. They seem to be relatively hardcore believers, and yet you're the black sheep of the family, as I'm the black sheep of my family. You seem to be the black sheep of your family. How did that happen?
I think my first doubt happened when I was 8 years old, and I brought up one of Paul's, you know, Saul of Tarsus. I read the Bible like twice through.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Growing up. But I asked my father, and he was an elder. I asked him, I said, "Dad, why aren't women allowed to be elders in the church?" You know? And he says, "Well, it says Paul tells women not to talk in the congregation, not to speak in the church. If they have any questions, they should bring it up with their husband." And that didn't make any sense to me because, well, women were allowed to talk in the congregation. It's just they weren't allowed to be elders. No. So it was kind of like, well, let's just let happen what we want to happen and then ignore the rest. And as I started to grow up, I noticed that, you know, hey, let's accept this part of logic and this part of science and these key elements of the empirical method. But then let's ignore this, and this. And that's when I started going, okay. This is crap.
Well, I think I tend to agree with you that atheists tend to be more socialist. If you read any of the magazines like Free Inquiry and Skeptical Inquirer, you'll sort of glean some of the socialist tendencies in some of their op-eds and whatever in their editorial opinions. So I agree with you. Of course, then the more conservative you are, you tend to be, you know, more Republican and more, you know, Christianity is this and the rest of the world can go to hell, you know, type thing. Well, anyway, enough of that. Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. We're pleased to have with us today R.D. Rowe. He is a blogger.
M.D. Rowe. Sorry. It's M.D.
That's right. M.D. Rowe. And actually, MD. I wrote down your name wrong. It's M.D. Rowe. I apologize. That's right. Your first name is Mark.
Oh, okay.
Very good. But you go by M.D. M.D. Rowe. And we are going to talk today about atheism and politics. Now, in that venue, all right, tell us a little bit about what you are trying to achieve, you know, and what your message is.
Well, I remember I didn't get into libertarian-type politics until, even though I felt toward the philosophy of classic liberalism, of social and economic liberalism, I always felt unwelcome in libertarian circles all the way up until the age of about 19, 20 years old. As soon as I was 16, I was attending libertarian meetings, but I felt unwelcome because I didn't believe in, you know, the same religion as they did. And I started to ignore it by the age of 19, 20, but I think a lot of people just can't ignore it. So I think that there are actually a lot of people who would call themselves liberal and would tend to vote Democrat or whatever, and they don't come over to our side of the thinking.
That's correct.
And then they tend to vote for their Democratic, you know, politicians because they don't want to be wrapped up with the religious side of things.
Right. Well, you said that you were not welcomed in the libertarian circles because you were a non-believer. Did I hear you say that?
I didn't feel welcome. I definitely didn't feel like talking about my religious stance. Well, I'm more than capable of keeping quiet about my religious.
No, I know. But what's interesting is my experience is exactly the opposite. I found that that was the only place that I did feel comfortable because no one cared or they were all atheists anyway. But that's interesting that our backgrounds are so divergent. Okay, very good. Okay, go on and tell us a little bit about what your blog and what you're trying to accomplish.
LibertarianAtheist.com. The main point of this website is to give a place for libertarian and atheists who, you know, need to be around other libertarian atheists or talk to them or find business partners. Or it would just be like if there were a site called libertarianchristian.com. It's not that I'm promoting the integration of atheism with libertarianism. It's just that if you're a libertarian and an atheist, you're a very particular subsect, and it's nice to be around other libertarian atheists for a while. Because if you're libertarian, you know, you kind of run heavily into the Christian side of things. And if you're atheist, you tend to run heavily into the socialist side of things. So it's nice to be around others of like mind, of course. Always is. Always has been. And there's nothing wrong with that.
All right. So what have you, well, tell us what's been evolving since you've had your blog and you've started on this journey?
Well, my biggest issue has always been when people mix their religious viewpoints in with their politics. Although I applaud anyone that would, you know, see something lacking in society's ethics and values and want to do something about it, I think that the crux of the topic of government and values and ethics and everything else lies in who's the servant and who's the master. If you truly believe that government is the servant, you will know that it serves only through mandate.
Right.
You know, only through a mandate of the people. So government should only be representative of what the majority would have, you know, in it. And it should be small, limited, and not force anyone into any kind of belief or ethics or values or anything of that sort. Now, that's what we believe. But that's never going to happen until we get our word out there to as many people as possible. So my thinking is that we should focus less on the government side of things and focus more on the people side of things. Only through talking to people will we be able to get out the idealism, the beliefs of small, limited government.
Right, but why would anyone want to speak to you? You're a crackpot. See, I'm a crackpot.
I'm a crackpot. Of course I am.
You know, I mean, let's face it. I mean, this is how we are identified to society. Oh, if you're a libertarian, those are those crazy people, those fringe people. I think they do drugs on the side. You know, all that stuff. So, I mean, how do you engage people?
It's simply because socialists are better at this than we are.
Oh, they're fabulous.
Better at getting the word out.
They've
had 100 years of practice at talking to people of different viewpoints and saying the right things to get them to move toward their thinking.
Yeah.
Equality and social justice, as it's called now, are popular. They're a popular idea. It's nice to think, oh, we can have an egalitarian society where everyone's equal and everyone gets their apportioned amount of food and no one's going to die and everyone gets health care and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But liberty is as popular, if not more popular. We're just not very good at using it, at getting the word out.
Maybe we're getting better.
Maybe we're getting better.
We have two callers on the line. We have area code 918 and area code 770. I'm going to take 770 first. Area code 918, please hold on the line. Don't leave us, okay? Here we go. Area code 770, your first name, please, where you're calling from, and your question or comment. Thank you for calling Liberty Talk Radio.
Yes, thank you, Joe. This is Adam in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm pleased to speak with you. I've listened to your internet radio program for quite some time now, and I'm highly impressed with your way of thinking and some of the ideas that you put forth. They're very eye-opening.
Thank you,
Adam. You're welcome. I also want to say to Mr. Rowe that I'm a frequent visitor to his website and a contributor, and I believe that the Libertarian Atheist website is a very important forum for this unique way of thinking and perceiving the world around us. I will say that conservative Libertarian Atheists are quite an anomaly. Nobody really knows how to take us. Because we're conservatives, and as it has been said, we're sometimes more conservative than Republicans are. And they also say that if the Republican Party were doing their job, you wouldn't need a Libertarian Party.
Right.
But on the other hand, most conservatives, and certainly neoconservatives, do believe in a supreme being. So we kind of break the mold on both ends.
Right.
But I do want to stress here that libertarians tend to believe wholeheartedly in the U.S. Constitution and every amendment, certainly the First Amendment, which guarantees freedom of religion and the right to the free exercise of your particular faith. So we're not...
or lack thereof, of course, right, Adam?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Or lack thereof, of course, right, Adam?
You know, freedom from religion is just as important and should be protected as freedom to worship. I think when the first settlers came here, I think if you asked them, they probably would have said, we are just happy to pray in our homes and in our private businesses and in our houses of worship. And as far as putting up religious symbols in government buildings, public areas, that really doesn't concern us, because as long as we have our freedom of religion to do whatever we want to do in our own homes, on our own property, that is sufficient, because they didn't have that where they came from. So I think, as far as I'm concerned, my real beef with people who tend to mix politics with religion is that they sometimes want to give biblical reasons why certain things should be adopted politically. And a good example of this is, let's say, the gold standard, or why we should abolish the income tax, that somehow there's a biblical reference to there. And they want to tie this in to faith, and there's really no reason to do that.
Right. Yeah.
The ideal stands on its own. You don't need a backup from the Bible, whether or not the Bible is the literal word of God or not, whether it's true or false. these ideals stand, as Jefferson said, that and how Judge Napolitano opened his program up, that these are natural rights. And the word natural rights was used, of course, just in case that it is proven that there is no God. So that humans still needed some protection from tyranny, just in case.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Adam, I always hear, go ahead.
I'm sorry. We lost our caller on 918, and I hate when that happens, but you know, I wanted him to get a flavor of what we were talking about before I clicked in. We have someone from area code 740. Adam, hang on the line, and maybe we can have a three-way, four-way conversation. Hold on a second, please. Area code 740, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. Thank you for calling in. Your first name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, Joe. This is Tony in Ohio, frequent listener, an infrequent caller.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening. And your comments or questions, please.
Yeah, you guys were talking about politics and religion. I'm not an atheist, but I'm a deist, which is kind of like a lazy atheist, if I want to be funny.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I kind of want to be funny about it, you know? So,
no, I have several friends that are deists. Yeah, I fully understand. Benjamin Franklin was a deist, so, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I think, like, the main issue sometimes is that people don't understand or don't even know what natural law or natural rights are, and therefore, because they don't know what it is, it can't be their code of ethics, and therefore, they have to draw their morality from some outside place, you know, like an organization, an institution, or a particular belief that might kind of block out reason or logic. So I think it's not so much that they don't take to it. You know, and we could fix the situation a little bit. I just think they're not educated about it. I never learned about natural law or natural rights in school. It was much later that I learned about it. So, I mean, then I became less involved with doing stuff like that, you know, pushing my morality on other people where it doesn't, you know, infringe on me.
But, you know,
absolutely.
Isn't it,
you know, Thomas Jefferson in 1781, he said, "The legitimate powers of government extend to such acts only as are injurious to others. But it does me no injury for my neighbor to say there are 20 gods or no god. It neither picks my pocket nor breaks my leg."
Right, exactly.
Absolutely. 100%.
I think that's an excellent point. And I'm glad that the environment is changing a little bit, that we have more of a flexibility to talk about religious issues. It used to be a time where you had to really hush up because of fear that you would offend someone of faith, and I think that the times are changing now, and I think that there was a statistic that MD, you'll correct me on this, but there are more atheists in America right now than there are either Jews or Muslims.
I would say that there's non-religious. Yeah, I think right. the non-religious, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's many more.
Things are changing, but it does not mean that not subscribing to a certain religious faith or even a belief in a supreme deity necessarily means that you give up some of the human virtues that are prescribed in the Constitution, and I think that's the most important thing.
Okay.
But,
absolutely.
Excuse me, let me cut in just for a second. Adam. Paul,
sure.
MD, can you turn down your volume just slightly? Is it possible? Or
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Certainly.
You're a little bit coming up, a little bit overpowering, so I'd like to keep it a little even so when people listen to this from the archives.
I'm also loud in public, too,
yeah.
So I'm a very good public speaker.
Can you turn it down just a little bit more? I'm going to moderate this from my end just for a second, Adam. I'm sorry. Turn it down a little bit more and see where you come, what you sound like. Okay.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Okay, very good. You guys live in a different universe than I live in. The universe that I live in, if they suspend, I'm from Oklahoma, the Bible Belt, and if someone learns that you are not a diehard Christian, they will not associate with you at all. I can tell you 50, I can give you 50 great stories, and some of them are hilarious, but you can be friendly as all heck, and as soon as they find out that you're not of their religious persuasion, they drop you like hot coals. And I guess maybe in your state it's a little differently. Here, you just don't work that way. And I find that unnerving. But let's get back to politics and religion. I think this is the crux of the conversation we're having today, how politics can contaminate religion and how religion can contaminate politics. Now, would you...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's exactly like Adam was saying. He said that, you know, he always hears that Christianity claims some kind of foothold on, you know, things like getting rid of the Federal Reserve and going back to the standard and, you know, smaller government. And I always hear these things, too. And I also hear that liberty and freedom and the very tenets that our country is based on come through the Christian legacy. And I'm not going to argue whether or not it did or didn't, but I would say that even if it did, what good is liberty and freedom only to Christians if not all Christians adhere to it?
Right.
I mean, all allies, why not, and who agrees with us 100%, but who agrees with us in liberty and freedom, period.
All right. But that's this where is, our allies this is where lie. We go, the trolley goes off the tracks, because the focus is no longer on liberty. Once you bring up the subject of religion, it's focused on religion. Liberty be damned. And that's a real problem.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's going to be Muslims in other countries who might be coming to a greater understanding of maybe government isn't the key. Maybe freedom is the key. Maybe freedom from religion and freedom from government. But they're not going to feel very welcomed in the current libertarian and classic liberal, you know, circles. So, like I said, but anyway.
Callers, if you'd like to hang up now, that you know, feel free to do so. If there's another comment you'd like to make, please feel free to do so. Whoever wants to go first, please just voice your opinion.
I was just going to say, before I hang up, Joe, that I'm glad you're back on BTR. It's been a pretty long hiatus. I saw you try to get some things going before, and I think you maybe had technical difficulties.
And illness,
you were one of the first shows I ever listened to on here, so congratulations on coming back. And
thank you so much.
You guys just proceed with the show. I'll listen in.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate your listenership.
Bye-bye. Nice talking to you.
Bye-bye now. Okay. Adam, are you still with us?
Yes, okay. I am, Joe. All thank right. you. Just going to add that I have an example of a libertarian who has mixed politics with religion, and this article was posted some time ago, probably back in January, on lourockwell.com, and I love Lou Rockwell's website.
Yes,
it
excellent.
Is second to none in terms of libertarian issues. Along with, of course, Reason Magazine and the Future Freedom Foundation.
Right.
They're all excellent websites.
Right.
And Bill Sardi is an excellent writer. But in this case, he's kind of broken away from what he normally writes about and decided that he would talk about the government schools and why he pulled his child out. So it starts, I dropped my son off at preschool, a church-run school. He won't be attending public school like his parents did because we want him to learn values, not to believe that he accidentally evolved from an ape-like creature.
Right.
We don't want him exposed to all the propaganda injected into school curriculums about global warming, overpopulation, gay agenda, mandated vaccinations, the idea that the earth is to be valued among human life, or blind loyalty to government above God.
Right.
Some of this thinking creeps into church schools, too, so we are vigilant. And, of course, I wouldn't deny Mr. Sardi or any other religious person the opportunity to send their child to any school, whether it be faith-based or a secular school. I think the problem here is government schools. If you abolish the government schools, you
absolutely
worry about whether or not they were teaching the wrong curriculum, whether or not there should be prayer in schools, whether or not the Ten Commandments where the Pledge of Allegiance should be said. You know, it's almost like you get rid of the public park, and you don't have to worry that someone wants to use the public park or government park for a religious exercise or a religious ceremony.
Right, absolutely.
My point is that there's really no, the culprit here is the government school. The culprit here is government,
right.
Not so much religion.
Right, agree, Adam. Well, thank you very much for calling in, Adam. I hope you continue to be a listener and a contributor to the program. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Right. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, Adam.
Okay. Well, we've been active. Too bad we lost that one other caller. We had three callers in a row. That's pretty neat. Now, what is your take? How do you approach religion and politics? By the way, I hear some scraping or scratching in the background. Do you have any idea what that might be, MD?
Here, I may have like a bad signal, but
okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, I just hear shh, I'm afraid that on the archives,
okay.
People are going to go nuts and they're going to turn it off.
I'm sorry.
What is your approach when you meet someone who is not a libertarian and not a non-believer? What approach do you take, and how do you get to speak to people like that? I know in this part of the country that's nearly impossible to speak to that person, you know, unless you have them chained to a chair and you tell them, you know, if you don't speak to me, you'll never see your family again. You know, I mean, that's how terrible.
Well, I tend not to wear like a badge that says, "Hey, I'm libertarian and atheist."
Yeah.
Yeah. When I talk to people, I try to focus on what we share in common instead of focusing on what's different between us.
Yeah.
And I'll get a feel for their religious beliefs. Like, for instance, in the past, I've had bosses who were very conservative and very, very much Christian and really in the religious right. And I would focus mainly on the things that we agree on. And then I'd have a small disagreement with them. If I had that disagreement, I would leave it at that.
Well,
I would
give
my opinion. And they would respect that. And then I'd leave it alone at that. I wouldn't go any further. I'd go to right to that point and give them something to think about. You know, for instance,
okay.
He was for economic freedom, but he was against like open borders between the countries for some reason. That was his stance. He believed in keeping the industry in our country. And I made it clear to him that if it weren't for patents in our country, the kind of patents that deny other people access to technological innovations, you know, basically government-mandated monopolies, then those price drops that they would get, and people would get from having their labor done in India or Singapore, would then be passed along to a much more competitive market in the United States and not pocketed into the CEO's, you know, pants or whatever. So that would, if you repeated that 5,000 times in our country across 5,000 different industries, then all of a sudden the cost of living in the United States would drop. Therefore, the amount necessary to survive would drop, wages would drop in the United States, and government businesses would have less incentive to go overseas.
Right.
So whenever I talk to anyone of a particular different political or religious agenda, I stay away from the religion. I really stay away from the religion when I'm talking to people out and about, because it's not my business.
Right.
It's absolutely 100% none of my business.
Right.
And I fully 100% support all of their religious beliefs and everything.
Okay.
When it comes to politics, I've never encountered someone who I couldn't agree with at some point. You know, somewhere in their political beliefs, there's something that I could agree with them.
Right.
And that's what I think is key when you talk to people.
Okay. MD, I'd like to take this opportunity just for quick station identification. Folks, my name is Joe Cristiano. I'm your host of Liberty Talk Radio. With us this afternoon, we have M.D. Rowe, and before I called him R.D. Rowe, so I stand corrected. I don't know why I did that, but M.D. Rowe, he is a webmaster, but he also has he's a blogger, and he concentrates on atheism and libertarianism and how we can better understand each other if we concentrate on those things that we agree with. And we're going to pursue that conversation further. But first, if you want to call in, please do call in anytime. The call-in number is 646-652-4620. Again, that's 646-652-4620. You can always send your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Thank you. Now, how do you approach a person who might be interested in speaking with you, but the insistence is that it's focused on the religious aspect of the conversation and not the liberty, sort of the liberty aspect of the conversation? How do you approach that?
If they want to bring up religion, go ahead.
I mean, that's the... I'm floored when they do that. My only answer is I deny absolutely no one their religious belief. And if I say I am a, and fill in the blank, whatever religion you want to put in, I am a Presbyterian, a Buddhist, a Lutheran, as soon as I say that, I am in fact denying everyone their belief because I am telling everyone else you're wrong. Because if you weren't wrong,
If you want to get them to stop talking to you real quick, there's a lot of different people that when I tell, if they bring up religion and then I tell them atheist, they'll stop talking to me. If they do continue talking to me, they're probably Mormon or some other proselytizing Christian branch, and I'll have an interesting conversation with them about the Bible. I'll bring up Bible quotes. I'll talk to them about it, you know, and I'll say, you know, I'll give different quotes that, you know, kind of support my viewpoint. So, but I try to stay away from religion, and I will never really bring it up. I leave it for them to bring up if I ever have a conversation about politics or anything, if they stay away from politics and they, you know, veer toward religion. But to me, the most important thing is for our country to go back to its beginnings, to go back to its freedom, to its liberty.
The retort that I get that, from that, I'm sorry, go ahead. I stepped on your words. Go ahead.
I believe that the only way that that's going to happen is if we focus on the liberty and the freedom. And we can't just, you know, take it up with government and then in fact, expect it to be enforced on the people. Because like I said before, the people are the master. And if 80% of the population believe in socialist ideals, the government is going to be socialist at some point, because a free-loving nation, a free-loving government will be swayed by 80% of the population being socialist. So in any aspect of changing the greater zeitgeist, the social ghosts, the governmental powers that be, the only way to do it is through the people. And you aren't going to be doing that or promoting liberty by putting up walls.
No, I agree.
By building dividers.
Where I don't see the connection, I'll be honest with you, where I'm having difficulty with the connection is how we make progress in that regard. And that's what I would like for you to address and help me with, because I'm not understanding that portion of it. I don't know how we make any progress, do it any further, even if we discuss those issues of commonality, of agreement, because once we do that, all we're doing is saying, yeah, we're both New York Giants fans, and that's great, and we leave, and nothing gets done. I don't know how we progress. You've got to help me with that.
I think that the agenda for a socialist-type country has been around for a while. I remember growing up, I would go to social studies classes, was what they were called. I don't know if you also took those kind of classes.
Yes, we did when I was young. Yeah, when I was very young, but that was many years ago.
in my classes, I remember very clearly that they would give us examples of people's being violated. They would give us examples of slavery and the Trail of Tears and these horrible, horrible atrocities, for instance, but they would never bring them together in a correlation. They would never say, hey, this is what they all have in common. The government or the people in charge or whoever did this was not respecting their natural rights. And I think that natural rights are a fact. I absolutely believe that there are a certain number of things that you cannot do to people without them being upset at you for it. And that is, for me, what defines a natural right. If you take away something or do something to someone that they don't appreciate or that they don't want you to do to them, or you take away any part of them through force, this is a violation. And that is an absolute fact. And I see no reason why, for instance, we can't, someone out there, some business entrepreneur, can't build up a book publishing company or whatever that would create a curriculum for these different schools called Natural Rights. And, for instance, replacing social studies. Because all social studies is socialist indoctrination. That's really what it is.
Right.
And that's what I see it as. And a simple replacement of that with study of, you know, the individual studies. You know, why social studies and why not individual studies? That's one angle of it. But I also believe in, like, a two-pronged effect. We need to tear down walls between people. We need to spread the value of liberty. There's a high value in freedom. And I do believe it's popular. It's just all of the media outlets are really pushing, you know, a social agenda. And they look at things through the government's eyes, and, you know, they support the wars and, you know, on and on and on and on. But I think that we need to create our alternatives, and we need to promote them.
There are no
publishing companies out there putting out school books for natural rights right now.
Right.
It's just not happening. Why not?
Right.
We complain that there's brainwashing going on in our public schools. You know, why aren't we providing the alternative?
Yeah. Whatever we learn in school, it's comic book stuff. Nothing we learn in school is the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely nothing. And I would love to get my hands on a high school history book and start reading it from page one, and every day get on the air and say, I'm going to read a paragraph from the history book by so-and-so that's required reading at this school, and go over each paragraph, and I will defy anyone to find anything that's accurate, and you will find absolutely nothing. I think, as Patrick Buchanan said, it's all comic book history. But here is my problem. The big obstacle, the impetus for us wanting to make this, you know, headway, is to break through the barrier of religion first. And not that you're denying people religion, but you're trying to get religion out of the way so we can have a discussion that's a critical thinking discussion. This is where I fall off the tracks all the time. Because once they want to talk about religion and you don't, you are you fill in the blank what kind of name they want to call you. You know, you're a heathen, you're this and that, and you're not worth anything. You cannot possibly have any virtues. You cannot possibly have any values if you don't believe in, and then fill in the blank, this particular religion. Because if you don't believe in this God or this whatever it is, you know, you obviously, you know, are a dangerous person because you have no values. You don't value life, and I should be afraid of you because you really don't care, and you'll come into a room and kill everyone, and it won't bother you at all, simply because you're not of this religious persuasion. Now, how you circumvent that, and how you get through that, or how you shatter that, and how you change that. This is my problem. I can't get through that. And maybe you can help me. And
go ahead.
Maybe you can help the audience and say, well, you know, this is what we need. This is the approach we should take. What, you know, and I have never been successful with that.
Well, I like to remind people that, you know, the number one killer in history has been government, and the number two killer has been large organized religion. It is not beneficial to have any large grouping organization. The only reason people organize and group together is to either build power or maintain it. And I always believe that, whether it's religion, corporations, government, the only purpose is to either create power or maintain it. And the way I see things is that in order to claim that you're a liberty-loving person, you have to be open-minded to the fact that there are other people with brains and families and loved ones. I have loved ones. I have people that I would take a bullet for. If you don't believe that I'm a human being, please go ahead and, you know, cut me and see if I bleed. I bleed. And I personally, and if we want to go into the religious side of things, I personally would not want to believe in a God that would throw me into the bowels of hell for what I think and not for what I do. You know, let's say some jerk who goes in and shoots up a mall somewhere who's, you know, deeply, profoundly Catholic. You know, as long as he's absolved of his sins, he's going to heaven, but I'm going to hell.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you really believe that?
Yeah. But how do you engage that conversation when you can never get that far? Because at this point, there are fighting words. I mean, there is animosity building up to a point where you should be fearful of the religious person. They get angry. I mean, most of my friends, you know, belong to different religions and various religions. And, you know, we don't argue about this stuff, but and at least they know me, and then they'll talk to me about it. But other than people that I know and they understand me, and I tell everyone that I'm a pagan, you know, I always like paganism because they have big parties and wine and women, and they, you know, they have pork or whatever, the pig on the set, all night long, you know, sound like my, it's like being in a perennial fraternity, you know, and getting drunk on the weekend. That sounds great to me, and I tease them about it. But I'm still lost as to we can engage people one-on-one. We can discuss those items that we have in common. But how do we change this? I mean, it's a mammoth effort.
There is nothing wrong, in my opinion, of religious people trying to persuade other people to their religious viewpoint. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. The other side of things is that you should also be promoting liberty, but you should be promoting these two things separately.
Okay.
And there's nothing wrong with a liberty-loving Muslim, because a liberty-loving Muslim is going to let you continue practicing your religion.
Right, and they're not going to bother you because you're different, because it's they let you be. All right, I agree with you.
Absolutely.
Okay, I see what you're talking about.
I always ask them, if 80% of the country were Hindu, would you want them to ban the sale of meat, of beef?
Yeah.
Certainly not.
All right.
Certainly not.
I just had an epiphany, MD, and that epiphany was I wasn't listening to you. I wasn't listening to really what you're saying, and let me recap for myself, and then you can tell me if I'm wrong or right. We should not be talking about religion. If we talk about liberty, religion becomes just a personal matter and is insignificant and immaterial to the conversation. So what you're saying is that we focus only on liberty issues and not on the religious issues. We don't get involved in that whatsoever. In fact, we steer away from those issues.
Especially if you're of a smaller religion.
Yeah.
Especially if you're of a smaller religion.
Yeah.
You should be proactive in spreading the ideal of liberty to every religion, especially the major religions out there, to people who are part of the major religions and part of religious organizations that are larger than you.
Yeah.
You shouldn't care about their, whether they believe that God, the Holy Ghost, and Jesus are all one and the same, or just Jesus is the Son of God, or Jesus is God. That shouldn't matter. What should matter is you spread to them that it's okay for me to believe otherwise.
Right. Okay. All right. It's a bell went off in my head, you know. It takes a long time because the bells are getting rusty at my age, 67. Anyway, I see what you mean. Now, how do we – so we should focus primarily on the area of liberty and basically discount the religion because that just muddies the water. In politics, unfortunately, what do we have? We have Sarah Palin is an excellent example where, you know, no matter what she talks about, eventually she throws in religion. And it starts muddying up the water all over the place. And so many people do that. And politicians do that because if they feel that most of the people are of a certain religious persuasion, that's who they'll cater to. And then their conversations and their speeches will be, geared accordingly.
Again, liberty-loving libertarians need to break down the walls that divide us and come together as people who love liberty and strive for the ideal of small and limited government and really push this idea, because if we are able to infuse that belief into many different Democrats and many different Republicans, I don't believe in making a separate party. There's no need to. If it happens, it'll happen naturally.
Right.
I think that the best thing we can do is to talk to Democrats from their perspective, because they're looking at things from a particular perspective, but something's blocked. For instance, they'll believe that big corporations are bad, but then they don't understand that big government is as bad. Right. And in fact, big government allows big corporations to occur.
Right.
Now, I have actually explained this to several people of a Democrat liberal perspective, and all of a sudden a light went off in their head, and they go, "Wait, what did you just say?" And I'll say, "Well, the top three monopolies, the first three monopolies in this country, oil, railroad, and telephone, they were all promoted by the government. The government allowed them that to happen. Those monopolies don't exist until government says, you own this idea, you own a monopoly on this venture, on this capital.
Right.
You have a contract in this particular thing." And once Democratic liberals understand that, then they come over to our libertarian liberal liberty side of thinking.
Okay.
And it's things like that. You got to understand that people aren't going. We can't just go out there and change people. We can't just change them out with a liberty loving libertarian. We have to make them love liberty, and then they will come to our side of thinking. And only through that can we expect politicians to change. Only through that can we expect government to change. Only through the people, through spreading the love of liberty. For the love of God.
Now, do you have occasion?
Can we expect? Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, do you have occasion to go to schools, colleges, high schools, and discuss this?
I would love the opportunity. Yes.
Yeah, but
I've never had it.
You have never done this. I was just wondering if you were trying to promote yourself in order to get into school. Have you ever asked, and have you ever been rejected or considered?
I have never asked. You know, I'm very much new to the pushing any particular political or liberty type aspect of things, and I'm very new to this. So, you know, I would love that opportunity. I now that you mentioned that, I might actually try to do that.
Yeah. Now, on your blog, what kind of response have you been receiving on your blog?
Well, the number one thing is trying to get libertarian atheists to go there. I always tell people that, you know, getting libertarian atheists together is like trying to herd cats. You know, just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, is not the word atheist a word that we should start questioning? Because when you say atheist, it has a very negative connotation right across the board.
I don't think it does have a negative connotation. In fact, the way I see things is religion, if you believe in a God, that is your faith. You do not absolutely 100% know for a fact that God exists and he's the God of your Bible. You believe it to be so because this is your faith. You have faith without fact.
Right.
You don't have absolute fact, but you're believing it, okay?
Right.
And the way I see things is no one in the world knows. People who claim that they know, we typically call them crazy. Okay?
Oh, right.
If there's a guy on the street who says, I just talked to God, blah, 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 we're going to call him crazy, right?
Yeah.
To me, everyone in the world is agnostic. The only fact that I'm an atheist, okay, is that I deny this God, that God, that God. I deny all gods, you know, all assertions of a God being.
Yeah.
Christians, for instance, deny all existence of every other God.
Right.
Except their own.
Right. Well, most religions.
I'm just going one God further.
Yeah.
I'm just going one God further, just like Richard Dawkins said.
Well, that's a good point because, you know, if you're of one religious persuasion and you deny everyone else their religion, there are tens of thousands of religions out there. So that means you are discounting tens of thousands. Let's say there's exactly 10,000 religions out there. So
there have been, I'm sure, a
person, and I'm just saying this for the sake of simplicity, a person of religious persuasion is discounting 9,999 religions. And you are...
That's a lot of gods to piss off.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
But
that's an excellent point. What you are saying is that you are only including one more god in there. You are including your 10,000. They're just 9,999. So you guys are very, very close, not very far. That's a good point.
Not very far at all.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the retort to that, but that's an interesting point. All right, we have one more call.
And just to make an absolute point, I respect the basic tenets of Christianity. I respect the basic tenets of Judaism, and I believe them to be, you know, good ethical moral codes, and I would never look down upon any Christian or Jew for them simply being a Christian or a Jew, and I would trust them.
Okay,
just in general, I would trust them.
MD, we
just,
have
I'm one, just making that point.
All right, we have one more caller, but we only have 2 minutes. Let's see. Hello. Area code 918, caller, you're on the air. We only have one more minute to go if you can ask your question. And thank you very much for calling Liberty Talk Radio. And
hey, thanks. Listen, I'll make this quick. I'm a first-time caller here. I have a question for Mr. Rowe. Actually, it's in addition to something you said, Joe, is that I'm agnostic. I don't think anybody knows what's out there.
Right.
And to
Absolutely.
Say atheism... doesn't have a negative connotation. It just as someone who's agnostic who doesn't know, I have to just tell you that I think it does. It does not further your cause. I believe in what you're saying. I think it's detrimental to the way you present it. And to that end, I think that that's something that needs to be examined because I think you're bringing up a lot of good points and nobody wants to be judged on the basis of their religion or lack thereof. But however, going into an argument saying you're an atheist, you have to accept the fact that that is absolutely something that has a negative connotation to people who are not atheists. I mean, you're just going to have to accept that because that's just...
Oh, I understand. Absolutely. And they can 100% have that opinion. Absolutely. But I would encourage them to agree with me on the points of liberty.
I think that's fine, but you don't get past the front door with
Well, that's fine, but I usually don't bring up my atheism to people
in
my day-to-day operations.
All right. Caller, we're going off the air in about 30 seconds, so I'm sorry we can't keep you on the phone. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you for calling.
Right, thank you. You have about 15 seconds. Would you like to wrap it up?
It was great talking with you, Joe, and I look forward to talking in the future and future ventures and maybe I can come again on the show.
Okay,
if you'll have me.
Surely, would love to. MD, and please call in anytime. MD, if you would send me a mailing address, send it to the email address that you have on file, your mailing address and your T-shirt size, and I'll send you a Liberty Talk Radio T-shirt for being our guest.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Okay.
You take care.
Thank you very much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Wow. That's a tough one. That is tough. That is tough, folks. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign in his nest that says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.